Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in Upstate. Hour number three, Chris Smith to my left. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisSmith1980. Tyler Butler to my right at MySportsCulture and the MySportsCulture MySportsCulture.com website. And, of course, me at Sturgis Sport at MacBrown22. Now, guys, we kind of alluded to, and Jimmy got in on it there before about halfway through hour number two, that thank God for the L.A. Lakers and the drama. Because right now, I guess the biggest drama is simply not Kevin Durant, but how healthy Kawhi Leonard's going to be for game number four. Because if he's not 100%, I'm sorry. You're not going to get Giannis playing like that two games in a row.
Yeah, but he wasn't healthy yesterday. Look what he did. He literally put in that second overtime, he literally put the team on his shoulders, scored 8 of the 10 points to give them the win.
But the thing is, he's going to be probably halftime before he loosens up in game number four. You know what I mean? The adrenaline is the most powerful drug out there, as evidenced by some video of some dude drop-kicking Arnold Schwarzenegger in the back earlier this weekend, or what took place in the classroom. But getting back to my point here, you know, we're kind of glad to have the Lakers drama or the Kevin Durant, you know, is he not going to play, much less end up in New York? But what about the drama from the Preakness this weekend? Tyler, you just spent the break there flipping through your Twitter, looking up how far when people hashtag Preakness it took to come up with the War of Wills. It's the champion of the second Preakness. And guess what? Or the second Triple Crown race, the Preakness this weekend. And guess what? His stud fee's going up because he's got a Triple Crown race, to his name. But how bad was it for horse racing when – by far, the most entertaining and storyline aspect was the jockey getting thrown off the mount, if you will, about 5 feet into the race. And what would have happened if that horse had actually gone on and won?
Oh, man.
No, I'm just saying, just outran every other. Because that's what those horses know what to do is race.
They just, right.
Well, you got, 110 pounds less on that horse than you do on any other one because of the jockeys. And my point being, that could have been the death of horse racing or the true shot in the arm that it needed.
No, that would have been a shot in the arm.
Everybody this weekend went to YouTube, Twitter, or whatnot to go look up what?
Seeing a jockey get thrown off the horse. I went through 40 tweets and didn't even see who won the race.
Right.
Because everybody, there's no Triple Crown involved this year. The owners of Country, is it House or Manor that won the Kentucky Derby? House. And that's a scary thing in its own right that 2.5 weeks later you got to go, is it Country Manor or
House? Maximum
it's
security.
One of those buildings. Now, everybody knows that one because.
Well, and this jockey got suspended.
But.
I don't know what.
It feels like. You know, and we've had on horse racing experts and everything else, but it feels like this was almost a manufactured storyline of let's see how much, what do they call it, gunpowder that they used to put in at the dog track. They said you could make a dog run faster by putting a little gunpowder in his food or putting a little BB pellets in his food.
Yep.
BB pellets will slow him down. The gunpowder will get them so irritable they'll run at a rate that they can't, you know. The fear is their heart would explode. But this almost felt manufactured because I maintain most of the people like Barry Abrams and all that we have said, that foul needed to be called in the Kentucky Derby. But guess what? In a time in a sport where people are starting to debate, is it animal cruelty? You know what? Right now, you might as well forget about horse racing for the rest of the year.
Well, honestly, the thing besides the – jockey falling off the horse, the thing I heard most about was the horse that they had to euthanize the couple races before mm-hmm. the Kentucky Derby. That's what everybody was talking about when I was looking on my Facebook and Twitter feed.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, most people want to talk, but most of those horses are treated better than most humans are. Yes, they are scummy people in every business, yeah. from the media to athletics to lawyers to if you do the process of elimination, there's a crappiest doctor in this country, and I bet he's got a full book tomorrow there at his doctor's office. But my point being, they are bad people and everything, but I don't know if this is animal cruelty because it's what humans do. We race each other. We race cars. We race horses. We race motorcycles. I mean, it's the will to compete.
I tell you what, there's a lot of dark stuff to horse racing a lot of people don't know about. We actually did a podcast last year on it to call it Rich People Dogfighting. We yeah. found out a lot of stuff that had no clue about.
A lot of the drugs they pump into yeah. them oh, to yeah. get them to Lasix and all this.
I was shocked.
So when I was younger,
it's NASCAR on dirt. If you ain't yeah. cheating, you ain't trying. So I mean, let's be honest about
yeah,
it.
Sports in general.
Yeah. When I was younger, I used to be around the horse track a lot up in New York because I knew somebody who owned horses.
Is it going
to
be a sport in 50 years? Mm. Because I think
there's one component.
Yeah, there's one component that they have that others don't, and that's called gambling.
Yeah,
and as long as people are willing to wager money and it's legalized gambling, horse racing will never fall to, you know, the powers that be. Trust me, long after the game of football is ever not played again, which I think at some point it will become physically impossible the way the human race is, you know, getting bigger and bigger. I mean, I'm sorry, once you got 425-pound offensive linemen moving that fast, dude, CTE's taking over within a couple of years because the one thing that they can get the helmets better and everything else, Patrick, but what's the one thing you can't do? You can't prevent the brain being moved around inside the cranium when there is enough of a crash involved. So, I don't know, but, man, I tell you what,
robots.
I needed that on Saturday.
Robots. That's
no, I want those for listen, I want to keep the human element into baseball, but I wouldn't necessarily mind right now seeing a robotic strike zone and taking that out of it. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, hell no.
I hate I think one thing that these batters should probably not have to deal with right now is going into the game wondering what's the strike zone going to be today.
But here's the thing. What is the strike zone?
Well, it's supposed to be what's from the knees to the nipples, more or less.
Uh-huh. You know? And how often is that called?
Well, that's my point. And every umpire has their own strike zone. And he might not call it to – I have heard from professional baseball players, a lot of their studying on the pitcher and what he likes to do on a three count is countered by they now go study what the umpire's done in his last two or three games behind home plate.
Right. So the strike zone is supposed to be knees to letters.
Right.
Or nipples, whatever. They literally call.
We like nipples better than letters. Sorry.
Okay. You literally have knees to basically the belt, is what mm-hmm. all umpires call on a normal day, unless they're Angel Hernandez, and then God knows what he's calling. I would never want to see a robotic strike zone. No, I just – it's
so much money involved.
The human element in that type of game is what makes it more interesting. People aren't going to want to watch a baseball game that's called by cameras.
All right, then can I settle for one other thing then? Once you step into the batter's box, you're done.
What do you
mean?
You're
done.
You can't step out?
Stepping out or anything else. There's not before every pitch. You got to go grab your cup and adjust it. You don't have to undo both batting gloves. You don't have to redo.
He almost said junk.
But my point being, once you step, you don't have to go. I get why golfers have a pre-shot routine, but you don't have to go through that on every pitch when it comes to Major League Baseball because, Patrick, you know as well as I do, I'm 50. I'm getting to a point in my life where I can spend some more time watching stuff. You're at a point where let's get it done as quickly as possible. You know what I mean? And the mm-hmm. attention span for baseball is one thing that's going to hurt it over the course of time.
Yeah, and not just that, but like you guys were talking about, the strike zone controversy, it's frustrating as fans to watch a game thinking, oh, that's a strike, and then nothing happened. You're like, well, 9 times out of 10, that's called a strike. Why is that not a strike? It's baseball is basically shooting themselves in their own in its own foot. And I think it was smart whenever they said let the kids play, and that way they had the showboat aspect of it to give baseball some interest. But besides that, everything else has been just a complete negative towards baseball.
Well, see, I think it becomes a problem when we get to the World Series, Tyler, because if you ask me, the strike zone in the American League is a little different than the National League, and it's because of two initials, DH, designated hitter.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off the automatic strike zone, I don't know if baseball would ever get around to that. I know the NBA is big in technology and the NFL kind of dabbles in it from time to time. But baseball is a little bit old-fashioned, and that could be the reason why they're not getting a lot of the younger viewers.
Yeah, well, I will testing. Say this much. Baseball in the long run, though, it's one of the things that we continuously do. Why? Because it's safe. Little League Baseball. That's why the game of baseball will never go away as compared to other sports. You know, right now they're after football at the youth level. Next it will probably be lacrosse, you know, because
soccer.
You can I eventually see them having youth soccer with the padded helmets that they're using for 7-on-7 right. drills that our buddy Kyle Offrey out in Texas is involved with. Because if you notice all this video coming from these summer workout tours, like you were at Friday down in, did they wear those airsoft
They didn't have them there because it was non-physical contact.
Okay.
It was mostly just tag. But I've been seeing it in training camps and also spring practice.
Yeah, I saw a video of a Clemson recruit on the offensive line just manhandling somebody the other day and catching grief for it. He was not going to apologize to the haters on Twitter. They were like, dude, that was a wrestling move, not a block. And yeah, there was no pads, but they had on that kind of rugby-looking thing, if you will, and I think that's going to be important. But, it's, again, I keep coming back to they can try and try and try with the helmets, but you will never, ever prevent the brain. If you know enough about the physics of it, doesn't matter what kind of helmet you have on, once that brain's jostled up there in the inside of the cranium, because go back and look at Dale Earnhardt and his crash at the Daytona 500. Did you really think that that was the crash that would kill Dale Earnhardt? Because
no,
you
he
would
didn't
have
hit
thought,
the wall that hard.
No, but it was the way and the
for
and the impact of it. You know, yet you know you see crashes like in the Legend of Ricky Bobby where they flip and flip and flip. It's that direct impact of force versus blah blah blah, and that's what really got Dale Earnhardt. So, again, I am sorry until they find a way with the halo back in the day. What was your Ohio State white point guard about 25 years ago that broke his neck that they still have back when they put the halo on where they drilled the thing into the head? Unless you can do that, there's no way to keep that brain from moving around. Now, lack of brains, you can call that to the three of us, at Chris Smith, at Tyler Butler, at me. We'll call Mac Brown 22 the smartest of us all. But maybe the craziest guy we'll deal with on this show, he's coming up next. It's our buddy Crazy Charlie, part of the Nashville Predators Network. And guess what? We'll catch up on the NHL because this looks like it is hand-delivered to the Boston Bruins right now. But when things look this easy, it usually is not.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So there are a couple of things that are money around here, and that includes our free cash dash contest. You can text the following word into 72881 for the 6 p.m. hour. It is nature. N-A-T-U-R-E. Text that in. Somebody's winning $1,000 this hour. Why not you? Now, the other thing that's money, it's our buddy Crazy Charlie from Nashville Radio with the Predators Network as well. Also proud Stanley Keg champion from a few weeks ago. But Crazy Charlie, Patrick and I were talking during the break. You produced the F out of some radio on Friday. That might go down as one of the best tweets I've seen in a long time.
Oh, thanks a lot, Sturge, and I appreciate that, Patrick. And, you know, being a producer is what I do best, and I consider myself a 5-tool broadcaster. I can do anything that the business needs, but producing is my first love, and it's where I make my money, Sturge. So if you're going to produce it, produce it.
Absolutely. So what are we getting ready to see? Right now the Boston Bruins are sitting back, getting healthy with one of the bigger punks in the league and Brian Marchand. I'm sorry, I get to say that every time I mention him. But what are we going to see, another Bruins championship? Because it looks like San Jose might be toast with the injuries. St. Louis gets a big 5-0 win. They come home for game number 6 tomorrow night.
Serge, you're right on with the injury situation of the San Jose Sharks. I think that they are done. At the end of that game yesterday, not only were they completely defeated on the scoreboard, but you look at their bench and what do they have? 7-8 healthy bodies left to go out there in the line. But if I'm St. Louis, home game, you go out there, you play physical with San Jose early. I don't think that they have enough reserves left to really put up much of a fight, and you go ahead and win that Western Conference and you lock up your meeting against the Boston Bruins.
Hey, Crazy Charlie, Chris Smith here. So what my sort of changing moment in that St. Louis-San Jose series was actually that goal for San Jose to win late in that game. I believe it was game 3. Ever since that goal, and you notice St. Louis hasn't cried or said a word about that. Media talked about it a lot, but it in my opinion, it looked like the whole switch in the series happened right after that game. What do you think?
Again, another excellent point right there, because you're right. That could have been a series-defining call against the St. Louis Blues right there, and I would expect when we do the autopsy on the series or perhaps when the season is completely over, a lot of the players will be more willing to talk about that moment and what a motivating factor that was within the room to go out there and make sure they didn't put themselves in that situation again. Because let's not forget, St. Louis did hold a 1-goal lead with a minute to go in that game. So they also gave up the tying goal and then, of course, the controversial overtime goal against. And that is a tough call. Over the course of a best-of-7 series, though, luckily for St. Louis, you're able to absorb a bad call against like that. Rally, and certainly since that moment, they look like a team that will not be denied. And it's really looking like St. Louis-Boston might be one hell of a 7-game heavyweight NHL title fight, because these two teams are really firing on all cylinders. They're both playing good, physical, strong, fast hockey right now. And that's exactly what you're looking for at this time of year. And the best possible series is going to end up being St. Louis and Boston. I didn't predict the Bruins to win a single round. Perhaps I got a little bought in too much with the Carolina Hurricanes and the good time, feel-good vibes there in the conference finals, because when you look at the analysis, you look at the numbers, the Boston Bruins, Tuukka Rask, clearly playing the best hockey out of any team in the Eastern Conference to this point. And I do not want to see another parade in Boston. This is going to be one that's going to absolutely tear me up. Boston, St. Louis. If St. Louis wins, I got to deal with Blues fans coming into Nashville multiple times a year, throwing up all over the streets and screaming about how many cups do you have. And if Boston wins, well, then what is it, like 3 weeks since a baby's been born without a Boston championship? I mean, there's no good outcome for me here, fellas. So I'm just going to try to enjoy it for the storyline that it is, yep, and hope we get a 7-game series where they really pound on each other.
Excuse me. Now you say that there's no clear winner for you in Nashville for the Predators. However, I disagree with you. If you look at it, I would expect you're rooting for St. Louis in this series if it is St. Louis versus Boston, because the Western Conference has been embarrassed every Stanley Cup final for the past 3 years. You have to at least look at it and say, is the Western Conference finally going to get the chip over its shoulder done and present itself as another premier conference in the NHL?
Oh, that's an excellent point that you make right there, the balance of the NHL getting both of the conference up on equal footing. And I truly believe one of the reasons the Western Conference champion has looked so bad in the finals the last couple of seasons is because the Western Conference bracket has been incredible with some of the top teams in the NHL, and they've really beaten up on each other pretty badly. You look last year, I mean, what the Vegas Golden Knights had to go through just to get to the final, it was a pretty difficult road. So I understand what you're saying about that, but I honestly cannot deal with St. Louis Blues fans coming into the home rink here in the 615 3 to 4 times a year and possibly a best-of-7 series in the playoffs and having to deal with that. I'm just declaring no winner this year, and I'm just going to abstain from this. Cause, now, you're right, Sturge. You nailed it. There's no positive outcome in this one. I could have found a positive outcome in virtually any other grouping that was got to the finals, but between Boston and St. Louis, the loser is me.
Well, I will say this much. Those St. Louis fans will probably leave Bridgestone Arena looking like his Twitter avatar here. Is you need to follow Crazy Charlie, at Crazy Charlie 615. For people that don't know, that is the area code for Middle Tennessee. So let me ask you this much. St. Louis, sort of an enigma to me, at least. But San Jose seemed to be getting all the breaks earlier in the series, Charlie. But the one guy that I think's been lost on this for the Blues, and I didn't realize, is Jordan Binnington. He is a rookie goaltender and is now 7-2 in road games so far this postseason, including his first shutout yesterday. So does he continue to play like a veteran, or do you worry about getting to the game's biggest stage and him acting like a rookie?
So far, nothing has seemed to bother Binnington in net this season since coming up. Let's all remember, this is one of the great storylines in all sports this year. The St. Louis Blues were in last place in the NHL at one point this season, made a coaching change, made a goaltending change to a rookie, and since then clearly have taken off like a rocket, because we're talking about them potentially clinching a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup and maybe even winning a Stanley Cup here over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks. So the St. Louis Blues really have pulled all of the right cards, bringing in a head coach that loosened up the locker room a little bit. By all accounts, all of the players said it was such a tight room to be a part of that any one single mistake was doom and gloom. Now you bring in a coach that's got a tough reputation, a tough attitude, and he lets the guys go out there and play and have a little bit of fun. You're talking about one fantastic storyline, a rookie goaltender, a last-place team, a coaching change, and now moving on into a championship round. Simply incredible. If the Carolina Hurricanes had made it through to the Stanley Cup final, could have been the equivalent story coming out of the Eastern Conference. But for the NHL, the St. Louis Blues, taking any of my bias from the Central Division out of this, the St. Louis Blues are a fantastic story this season. And it just goes to show you that no team is out of it, no matter how bad the first half of the season goes.
So, Charlie, I saw a stat, and the Bruins' time off, which is going to be 10 days once all is said and done. Nobody who has had that long of a off period has won the Stanley Cup in, I believe it was about 10 years, which is an interesting stat. Does the time off help the Bruins because of injuries and resting and practicing, or is it a hindrance, do you think?
Oh, man, when you get into the age-old debate of rest versus rust, I always come out on the side of not resting too long, because I do think that there is something to losing that competitive edge, losing that intensity, losing that game-by-game battle that you have in your mind at all times. I think the optimal thing is to get about 3 days off between rounds. That's plenty of time for guys that have some minor dings to go ahead and get themselves healthy and ready to go for a Stanley Cup final. Sitting home watching TV for 10 days, fellas, you know how it goes. You can sit around too much. You can get a little bit too lazy. And those guys are going to have to try to catch a moving train by somebody coming out of the Western Conference. It's a game of millimeters when it comes to hockey. And if you're not ready to go in game one, you may find yourself down in a series. And over the course of 7 games, you may be so even that that first game start, that first period where you gave up a couple because you weren't ready to go, that could be the determining factor in winning a championship or not. I think it's too much rest for the Boston Bruins. Not to say that they should have took it easy on Carolina, let them hang around, because you never do that. You always step on an opponent and put them away when you can. But for the Bruins, I do truly believe 10 days is too long to sit around at home watching TV, getting some good scouting time in on your potential opponents, but you're also getting a lot of downtime, and a lot of focus is going away from the team and from the game itself.
You talk a little bit about the scouting the Bruins are probably doing on St. Louis right now. However, the one thing that you can't really scout for or take into account is the heart and the crowd noise for St. Louis. This team has been waiting for a championship for so long. If they win tomorrow night over San Jose, they would be moving on. Do you think that would be any factor to disrupt the Bruins? Because I feel like Tuukka Rask, if he has a little bit of noise behind him, is going to start to get a little bit nervous because he's looked very comfortable in between the nets this postseason.
Oh, Sturge, you're on it right there. Tuukka Rask has been entirely too comfortable. The Carolina Hurricanes did nothing to disrupt his game back there. As a matter of fact, he looked so confident. He looked like an Old West gunfighter just standing there saying, go ahead, make your move at times during games. It was simply incredible to watch what he did in that performance. Getting him off his game, getting him distracted, certainly. You got to go for it. You got to attempt to do that. And that annoying car horn in St. Louis might be just enough to get into his head. But Tuukka Rask so far has been ice water out there for the Bruins. The crowd is going to be electric in both buildings. And for the Boston Bruins, when you talk about dealing with crowd noise, I mean Carolina, Columbus, these two buildings in the previous two rounds, they were as hot as can possibly be. Don't forget, they also go into Montreal and Toronto on a regular basis, Madison Square Garden. If the noise is disruptive to a team from Boston, then I don't know if they're truly a team from Boston. I don't think it bothers them very much at all. I think what it does is just add to the atmosphere, and it makes it a whole lot more exciting if you're viewing it from afar on television. St. Louis is going to bring it, but I think Boston is as well. You're going to have a really fun Stanley Cup final coming up, and yes, I know, I'm already counting the San Jose Sharks 100% of this, but I just don't believe, considering the situation with their health, that they have any opportunity to force a Game 7 and win a Game 7.
All right, Charlie, listen, we'll catch up during the Stanley Cup Finals, but let me ask you guys one thing. You know, for people that don't know, you do a bunch of things, Preds pregame, the producer for the Bill King Show. How do you get away with eating there at the Omni as much as you do and you're not 500 pounds?
Oh, man, you got to just keep walking, keep moving. Always right. Moving forward, my friend Sturge. You get them biscuits and you get on walking over to the studio. You broadcast some good radio. You walk on back over to the Omni. You get yourself a fantastic lunch. It's quite the scam I got going out here, my man Sturge. So next time you get out, we'll hook up. We won't make that radio mistake on time zones. I'll take care of you, my friend.
Well, we'll be back over there. My boy Chris Smith will us too. So we'll reach out. We'll talk to you here during the Stanley Cup Finals at CrazyCharlie615. Thank you, bud.
Oh, Chris, Sturge, appreciate you guys. And it is always a pleasure to be on the radio in the Upstate.
All right, there you go. Listen, that guy's worth the follow right there. And Patrick, yes, we must sound alike. Smart, good-looking, talented golfer, not a New York sports fan. So, yes, we must sound really, really alike there. Okay, when we come back, Tyler, let's get in on this. UCF, all right, I had, like, gotten off your case for a couple of weeks, and you got to come back and be that guy when it comes to college football. You know what? They felt like the little dog that nips at your heels. Now they're telling others what to do in their own conference. Who the hell do you think you are, Central Florida?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So the smack talk between Chris Smith and Patrick Brown took it to a new level there during the break. But Patrick, I've got video of him singing Sweet Home Alabama if he ever crosses a line. But Tyler Butler from My Sports Culture, what'd you figure out Friday night? You were down covering one of those high school camps in the Midlands area, and then you backed it up with another video cast on Saturday. So tell our listeners what you were up to and how they can find your work.
Yeah, absolutely. We was down there in Irmo, South Carolina, covering the elite position training camp for some of the elite high school football talents out of the Carolina, South End, North Carolina area. It was awesome. Very good experience. LaVon Kirkland was down there coaching up the linebackers. Of course, Ramon Robinson was coaching up the quarterback. So it was a great experience, and we have the whole breakdown on mysportsculture.com.
All right, real quickly, one of my buddies who's a South Carolina fan who played college football at Gardner-Webb, Rod Lork, you moved on from football into long-distance driving championships in golf. I think he was asked to work the Deshaun Watson football camp Saturday at Clemson. Of course, he went throwing up a little bit in his mouth and then had a blast. So, boy, you don't talk about an oxymoron. Coach Rod Lorick in the Clemson football facility this past weekend. Go follow him on Twitter. But, guys, speaking of football, we'll pick on somebody every week, including tomorrow Ohio State when Chris Smith isn't here to defend himself. It's the way we do it here, okay? But let me – I'm going to read this because I tried to go find everything online and then I didn't want to give his voice the credit. But UCF Athletic Director, for people that don't know UCF, that's University of Central Florida, now claiming they have 70,000 freaking students there in the Orlando campus that started off in Oviedo, Florida, and I guess now they have been annexed by Orlando, goes out and absolutely slams his rival down I-4 in Tampa. You know, Central Florida had the offer from Florida to play two games in Gainesville, one in Orlando. There's no benefit, really, for Florida to play UCF, right?
Right.
All right. When told, well, you need to take them on because they're a potential rival, Dan Mullen had this to say. They'd have to play us to have a rivalry. We made an offer to UCF, and we made a similar one to USF, South Florida, who is in their league. Translation to that was, if South Florida is going to accept the take-it-or-leave-it two-for-one deal, that was fine, and so should UCF. So the point being, South Florida has now signed two-for-ones with Miami and Florida. So they got six years.
That's money coming in.
It's money. Yeah. That's 6 years that you know you have a guaranteed in-state opponent.
Well, absolutely. You're going to get TV time.
You also have something totally different than Central Florida. You are the second tenant in an NFL football team stadium. So where the hell does Danny White, the Central Florida athletic director, come out saying publicly here, quote, it's a precedent I don't like being set in our conference for schools to start doing a much higher volume of two-for-ones. As a conference, we've been successful historically getting home and homes with Power 6 opponents. I'd like to see our conference peers continue to do what they have done. Well, you know what, UCF? It makes it a lot easier when, number one, your student population outnumbers the total amount of people you can fit in the football stadium at 43,000 people.
Right.
If you got just two-thirds of your students to show up, you got a jam-packed house, all right? Number two, go talk to me about, had your fan base rather see Pitt come in for a home-and-home or like to go talk smack in the sports bar in Winter Park about taking on Florida or Miami, their in-state counterpart.
Well, remember, this comes from the same AD and same school who claims a national championship, who went to the state of Florida to get a license plate that says 2017 national champions.
And did you see who they declared the next year as national champion after a college football playoff between two undefeated teams? It wasn't Clemson or Alabama. So that's how much that national championship means in my lexicon. All right, but really, do you think this guy's going to be very welcome at the American Athletic Conference football media days when he's like, oh, you think you got the ability to speak for the rest of us? Because guess what? We have different budgets that we're dealing with right here.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear any complaining when it comes down to the playoff time and your strength of schedule is not looking that great.
You turned down six opportunities to play three against an SEC team in your home state, three against an ACC team. No offense, know your role. You're not in this group yet, because if somebody was that tempted by Central Florida right now, they wouldn't be in the American Athletic Conference. We'd had another expansion here in the last couple of years. Remember, guys, they're not but a few years removed from going winless.
Exactly.
Yes.
That could have been a legitimate national championship and not the fake one that you got on your home office.
So, why do I keep coming back to UC? I get why they're having to do this. They're having to create storylines.
Because they're like that little chihuahua.
They are. Spike, Spike, Spike. Was it a chihuahua or like a chihuahua beagle? But then it turned out that the reality is that he ended up tougher than the big dog, right?
Right.
So, but my point being, don't go away, man. Just go away. I will laugh on the day that UCF thinks there's some kind of national power in football. Why? When I lived down there. When I lived in the Central Florida area, nobody went there. They were FCS. Congratulations, you moved up. But if you think you are even in the same round with Clemson and Alabama or Ohio State or Georgia or any of those, you're not. Know your role. You're a nice little program right now. You got a chance to do it. But guess what? When you can't fill up your stadium for some home football games, when the number of students that you claim you have outnumbers your stadium, don't go away, man. Just go away. Keep doing it the way everybody else did and build up a legacy instead of pointing to a couple of years. Is that a fair way of looking at it?
That's an excellent point.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you. You had no other choice but to say that. You realize that. So, anyway.
So I will say this. UCF now has the toughest strength of schedule it's ever had this year.
58.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Where are they? Well, we'll tell you that when we come back. However, we got one more segment left. You can get in with us, 844-GSP-ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Would love to know what this CBS sports analyst is smoking, Chris Smith. He's got a big year for Auburn. 10 wins this year, and I'm sorry, that ain't happening with Gus Malzahn having to break in new quarterback. If you couldn't win with Jarrett Stidham, who will probably go on to be the next Tom Brady taken in the fifth round by the New England Patriots. But, yeah, there's some team called Alabama in that division. There's some team called LSU in that division. And, oh, yeah, it seems like there's a lot more seven-win years out of Auburn than there are 10.
I would agree. I don't think there's any way there's 10 wins. Who wrote that?
It just says CBS sports analyst predicts big year for Auburn. And Tigers will win 10 games. I'm like, no
way.
They won't.
Yeah,
no, they won't.
Tough to believe.
Yeah, I don't see it. Eight or nine. Okay. Eight. Probably eight.
I'm guessing eight. Yeah.
So, you know, you send me the link over.
Yep.
I actually pay attention.
Okay,
I wasn't
good.
Writing it down.
Yep.
You're bragging at me that 7 of 14 Big Ten teams are ranked in what, Athlon's preseason poll?
The top 25.
No disrespect to my buddy Kevin McGuire that does some stuff with Athlon, but, you know, outside of Phil Still's magazine, I don't put a whole lot of faith in those preseason publications, because right now we still have one word or two words out there, one theory that can still train wreck everything between now and August. Transfer portal. More people entering today, and it's going to be a bad thing for college football. I read an article that over four times the guys have now entered the transfer portal, that there are open scholarship slots at Division I schools.
Right, but the thing is, those transfers, when you look at the eligibility granted by the NCAA,
they'll move it up 1 year.
They're starting to deny a lot of players.
Well, again, free agency, the rule was not intended for this. It's what we do in NASCAR or horse racing or dog racing or as the Ohio State University. We push the envelope, you know what I mean? And we'll see.
I was reading an article about a player that transferred from Illinois to some lowly old school. He was an offensive lineman, and he was transferring because his wife or fiance got breast cancer, and that's why he transferred, and the NCAA denied.
Yeah, Tate Martell, Justin Fields, man, if you can prove that you got screwed over in a way that you really didn't screw it over, you are fine. But, you know, it's just going to be, as I say all the time on this show, when it comes to this thing, and that's what people have wanted, free agency, and here for college athletes, we're already starting to see a blowback on this. Why? Because it got out of hand way, way too fast.
Yeah, and look at the impact that Feaster is having right now.
Right.
And the blowback he's getting because he's thinking about going to Carolina.
Now, I'm going to, you know, I got laid out by a couple of Carolina fans last week about it. Bad move on Tavian Feaster's part. And I'll tell you why, and you correct me if I'm wrong. They went to C.J. Spiller and asked permission to unretire that number 28 jersey. Now, he wore that patch, you know, 28 C.J. Spiller, and a lot of other things that went into this. There's not a Clemson fan out there that will have a bad vibe toward Tavian Feaster if he ends up anywhere outside of South Carolina. But I promise you, there are going to be some Clemson fans that will look at Tavian Feaster completely and totally different if he ends up at South Carolina. And you know what? If you go to the right, I don't blame him for feeling that way. I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying I don't blame him.
I mean, you're going into enemy territory.
Well, what about going in and we're just getting you to try show us what they're doing against this offense. So they're game planning for the 12th game of the year. What's that? Dude, just don't do it. Go to North Carolina. Go to Tennessee. Go to Oklahoma. Go wherever. Nobody's ever going to say, you go to the rival, you'll be a game cop for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's like that in any sports. Just like you're leaving the Mets and going to play for the Yankees.
Look, we still throw LeBron under the bus for jumping around. And he's jumped around to win championships. I'm going to be honest, that would not be the case with Tavian, but anywhere but your rival in this situation. You know, I know the guy, what about the guy after World War II that I think started at Clemson, ended at South Carolina? Dude, that was a different period in the 40s coming out of World War II. This is not the same thing in my opinion. I will not begrudge Tavian Feaster his own choice, how to do it, whatever. Well, I just wouldn't do it.
Who's the kid that graduated from Clemson but is the Furman quarterback? Or he goes how's that work?
Well, he was an engineering student, and he needed the classes that Clemson had, so he was able to go to Clemson for school but then come back and practice at Furman and be there. That's one thing. Furman and Clemson aren't rivals. You know, they were maybe back in the 50s or 40s, but just sorry, man. There's going to be a lot of people out there that will go, what'd you go down there and share? What'd you do? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm talking it. You know, because once you sign and you decide to sign, you're all in with the Gamecocks at that point. Mm-hmm. And I think there will be a lot of people that I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. All right, real quickly, you and Coach Phillips had a big video cast this weekend. What'd y'all get into? People can go to Facebook and find it, plus mysportsculture.com.
Yeah, and you can go to our Facebook page for Enough of the BS podcast. We had an all-NBA show, just broke down everything from the draft to NBA free agency and NBA playoffs.
All right. I'm going down on the record right now. I think Draymond Green is kind of like the leader in the locker room, even though Iguodala's a little bit banged up right now. I think if Golden State floated out there, that it would be good to go ahead and sweep this series in four. I think it happens tonight, especially since Damian Lillard announced he's got shoulder issues as well.
I agree. I think the series is over.
Yeah, they're going to get that over it really quickly.
What about game number four? I mean, the series tomorrow night is can Toronto hold serve and get back to Milwaukee? But when Giannis had his bad game last night and fouled out, If he stays on the court the whole game, I think Milwaukee goes back with the 3-1 lead. If Kawhi Leonard's still limping around like he did toward the end of the game,
even though he was money,
eventually, if you're hurting like that, it's going to take its toll on you.
Yeah, Kawhi's the million-dollar question, because he actually did a heck of a job on Giannis. That slowed him down. He only had 4 points when Kawhi was on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we shall see. And then, of course, I just think the Sharks are so banged up that St. Louis will take care of that at home. And like Crazy Charlie said, what a storyline. But it would be their first NHL Stanley Cup final since 1970.
Yeah.
And they played the Boston Bruins. So it just feels like maybe that storyline is supposed to go down. But anyway, guys, this has been fun today. Appreciate everybody. Tomorrow I can let you know at 5 o'clock. We will catch up with Clemson head golf coach Larry Penley. Tigers are taking off Wednesday for Arkansas to go compete in the national finals there in the NCAA golf tournament. Working on a couple of others as well, Patrick. But great job on your first day in this week with Diesel being on I-95 somewhere in South Florida. Chris Smith, 1980, follow him on Twitter, at MySportsCulture, MySportsCulture.com for Tyler Butler. For me, at Sturgis Sports, and guess what? Have a blessed evening. We're going to do it again at 4 p.m. tomorrow for another edition of Straight Up with Sturge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.